Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all on this cold winter morning. We welcome you here around the table of our Lord. Whether you've joined us in person or are joining us online, we're glad to share our morning together. With me serving you today, we have our brother Ben Pitcher, who will prepare our minds for the emblems with his words of exhortation. Our brother Ben has chosen for this morning's exhortation, a theme of a place in God's purpose. And as an introduction to his thoughts, we'll take a reading from the book of Ruth, chapters 3 and 4. Well, now I invite Brother Ben to lead us to the emblems with his words of exhortation as he reminds us of Christ and encourages us for the week ahead around this theme, a place in God's purpose.
Thanks, Sebastian, and good morning, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, young people and friends, and welcome to those listening online. So Ruth is a story about someone of faith finding their place in God's plan and purpose. We're very familiar with the sentiments of Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, which describes the process by which Ruth sought and found her place. So we come this morning as followers, like Ruth followed. But instead of following a Naomi out of the land of sin and death, we come to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of us could very well be paraphrasing Ruth's plea, but directing it to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Do not press me to abandon you or return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are my people, and your God, my God. And thinking about where our Lord currently lodges, remember he said that in my Father's house are many abiding places. I go to prepare for you. So we get to abide in the lodging that he's made available to us through his death. And his greatest wish was for his Father to be our Father too. That's why he went ahead and gave his life. And considering further Ruth's words in relation to our Lord Jesus Christ, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Yahweh, do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part you and me. Well, we come to remember our baptism, where we figuratively died and were buried with Christ in his death, which only parted us from him momentarily for 3 days. So the story of Ruth resonates with us on many levels, doesn't it? But the main thing I want to think about is this plea of Ruth for belonging and connection, for your people to be my people, and your God, my God. And we live in a world that is suffering from lack of genuine connection. And here's a reminder that the connection of the connection and meaning that's open to all of us through God's Son, our Boaz or our Redeemer that we come to remember. And so even though it was the law that could not save and so surrendered its footwear, as it were, and it's interesting, our Lord literally had his sandals removed by the Pharisees in an attempt, as if it were, to prevent him from redeeming us. But that didn't work, did it? They even drove a nail through his feet, as if trying to prevent our redemption by him in type. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. And Ruth, although a Gentile like us, became grafted into the hope of Israel, so much so that she's actually directly linked to the promises by her Redeemer's family and is mentioned by name in our Lord's lineage in Matthew 1. And we as well are linked directly into the promises through Christ, our Redeemer. Galatians 3 says, "You are all the children of God through trust in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who are baptized into union with Christ, clothed yourself with Christ." So he doesn't just spread his wings over us, he clothes us. "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave or free, male or female, you are all one in Christ." We're redeemed, we're free. "Now, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises." So like Ruth, we are partakers of the promises by our union with our Redeemer. So all of this adds resonance to the story of Ruth. She's a Gentile bride who's redeemed into the hope of Israel just like us. But I want to focus on the fact that she found what she was searching for, which is a place to belong and a people. Psalm 68 tells us this about the God we worship and praise. It says, "Father of the fatherless, protector of the widows, is God in his holy habitation." So God cares for the marginalized and unsupported as part of his character. And I guess it's no secret that he's looking for the same outward attitude of looking out for others, for those that need help, in us as well. James 1, "Religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world." And so if we worship God, we should act like his followers in keeping his commands and caring for the widows like Ruth and the fatherless. There are some that are widows and orphans in our midst, literally and spiritually. And so this ecclesia is their family. And so it's an obligation that God puts on us as a family here at Hyde Park to care for one another, to be hospitable. And it's fantastic that we have regular ecclesial lunches and time to spend with each other. But let's make sure that that's not our only care and contribution for those that need it, and that we're regularly checking in with people outside our close circle of friends. Because God is doing a work. He's bringing in the lonely and people who are searching into his family. And he's expecting us to act like his children and have the family ethos of care and support for them. I mean, Ruth came in following Naomi and found herself cared for by her association with Boaz, who instructed his servants to attend to her and welcomed her to share the same refreshment arrangements as them. And what's more, he seated her, we read, at his rudimentary table and shared his toasted grain with her. Well, we come to sit and be refreshed at our Lord's table with a simple meal this morning. Furthermore, we could actually be a Boaz to somebody. I mean, I don't mean we have to redeem them, but we need to respond with care and concern to their situation like he did. Because reading in Psalm 68, we find out that's what God does. So let's just, I'll go back to verse 5 and read on the section. Father of the fatherless, protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but leaves the rebellious in a parched land. So we could be the prisoners being led to salvation and prosperity, because we have liberty to serve God through his Son. And serving God is looking after those fatherless and widows and being a family to the lonely. See, Ruth is like a solitary, lonely figure who found her way to a place in the flock under the care of her shepherd, as it were. Except she didn't find her way there. God led her. I mean, she just happened to come across Elimelech's family in Moab, and when her sickly husband Mahlon died in a similar time frame to his brother and father, she just happened to follow Naomi home. And she just happened to come to Israel at the time of harvest. But Ruth was the harvest. The same way that we are the fields ready to harvest that our Lord foresaw in Samaria. And the record's really clear. She just happened to lie on a field belonging to Boaz in her first outing of the harvest. Yet we know there's no happenstance about it. God led her into the hope of Israel. The same way that God leads each of us, Romans 8. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those that are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. So the tragedies that form the background of Ruth's life work together for good, as God had predestined her for a place in his family and a place in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we as well are called according to God's purpose. We may experience difficulty in our journey through life. However, the one thing I want us to all realise and take away this morning is that we're not drifting aimlessly either. We are not only foreknown, but we have a place prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We have a place we belong as part of God's family. Our Lord, who we meet to remember, endured the cross and shame for the joy ahead of him. The joy of having brothers and sisters in him. And we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not a little thing. The Son of God gave his life, says Romans, in order for you and I to be called that, so that he could be called the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so we need to have the same family identity, the same likeness of character as our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that we come to remember in him, is to look at him and follow more closely and become like him. So do people see the character of Christ in us? Ruth was attracted to the character of God that she saw in Naomi and found a complete reflection of that in the care of Boaz. So much so that she wanted to settle under the skirt of Boaz, like under the sheltering wings of the Almighty. So that's a challenging thought. Do we, by our communication with others, have a settling and calming influence where people just want to settle down under our wings, as it were? Do people want to settle down in comfort when they interact with us? Do we make people sigh with relief and calm? Or do we make them sigh with exasperation? You know, it's challenging if we think our default behaviour might rile people up. We want to calm people down, draw them to us, not for anything that we do especially, but through the character of Christ in us. And that's really what our remembrance is about this morning, to open our hearts to Christ, that he might dwell in us richly and be seen in us and be part of us, that we can then care for and draw others to him through us. Perhaps we can think about Christ being in us as we integrate bread and wine into our bodies shortly. Because each time we eat bread and drink wine, it should remind us that we are partaking of a small portion of his body and symbol. And each partaking should bring about a gradual change. Some of us have been partaking little bits of our Lord's body for a decade or more. We should be able to see a real change in our lives and actions as a result, enabling God to draw more people to him through their interactions with us as we are changed. And so, talking about eating bread and being the body and a belonging, having a place, Paul in Corinthians says we're all participants of this meal. We all have a place. We all belong here at this table. 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one loaf of bread, and we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So this is talking about the place prepared for us in God's family to be part of the loaf. And we can think of Ruth, you know, gathering leftover scraps of grain around the edges. But what she wanted most was to be a partaker, to be in the field, not on the fringes. And we're right in it. We've been made part of that sun-ripened grain that's been blessed by the water of God's doctrine. It's funny how we talk about grain having ears, ears of wheat, as if it listens. And then that grain is harvested and finds itself on a rock being ground into flour. Our Lord says, "The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whomever it falls will be ground to powder." So we've come this morning to allow ourselves to be broken on the rock. We're not here in our own pride, in our own abilities. It's God in our lives working in us to get us to fit into our place in the loaf so that we can all participate. And it can be painful at times to have parts broken off us, you know, those self-centered and selfish and unhelpful parts of us, the grain husks, as it were, leaving the proteins and wheat germ behind, the nutritious and sustaining parts of ourselves is what God's after, the part of us that's going to sustain others, like the lonely and the alone. And even then, the process isn't finished. The powdered grain is again saturated with the water of God's word to hydrate it and allow it to stretch and be pliable, to be able to easily change shape. And then it's baked into its final form with the application of heat. And so we can reflect on the trials of our life molding us, just like the trials of Ruth's life ended up with her recognition of what's really important. Ruth was looking for a place, somewhere she could settle down and belong. We have been given a place in our Lord's body. Paul says all the parts of the body are important because they've been chosen by God to fit into their place. And being part of the body of Christ, even though they might be different in some respects, you know, there's hands, feet, ears, and eyes, says Paul. There's one thing that should be the same, says Paul. Paul says this is the defining characteristic of the members of Christ's body. So 1 Corinthians 12, there's no division in the body, but the members have the same concern one for another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with them. Or if one member's honored, all members rejoice. Now you are all the body of Christ, and individually you are part of him. So the evident care that we have for each other is really an indicator of whether we are part of Christ's body. And it's our care that will allow others to be part of it as well, those that God brings into the Lord's body, the lonely, the fatherless, the widows. They will feel like they genuinely belong. As long as we are genuine members and not mere prosthetics. Are we genuine warm hands, motivated by the impulses from the mind of Christ to reach out toward others? Can others feel our genuine warmth and care? Or are we plastic prosthetics, cold and uncaring, and not really an integral part? It's challenging to think on those terms, isn't it? And even if we are initially a Ruth searching for a place, once we find it, our Father expects us to identify with the traits that drew us to Him and display those same traits and care to others. Just as Naomi had to learn that God had actually provided everything she ever needed through her association with Ruth and Boaz, in the same way, we come to remember God provides us with all we really truly need through our association with His Son. So, in our reading, we read about Ruth's redemption, which gives us opportunity to pause and think about our Redeemer. I want to finish by reading a section from Ephesians 1 to remind ourselves that we have our Ruth story. We have a wonderful record of our redemption written in Scripture. Ruth was provided a place and was not just given a place to belong temporarily, but was given a place in the promises of God through the Redeemer provided to her by God's providence. And Paul in Ephesians 1 tells the moving story of us finding a place, being given the promises through the redemption of God's Son and becoming a part of His family. So Ephesians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So Paul's saying our abiding place is in the Father's house, in the heavenlies that Christ has now prepared for us. And while at one time we were lonely and on our own, He's reached out for us, says Paul. Verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in Him in love. But God hasn't just merely chosen us and given us a place, says Paul. Paul says He's given us a family and an identity through the work of His Son. Verse 5, but He predestined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. And so, though we might be Gentiles outside the promises, He's actually purchased us and redeemed us to Himself as well. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. So just like Ruth's sad past was wiped away being married to Boaz and what he lavished on her and becoming a mother in Israel and being part of the lineage of God's Son, So too, says Paul, our past life is, and our past regrets and failures are done away in the forgiveness of our trespasses. And we have the promises lavished on us in our life. Verse 9, making known to us the secret about his will that people don't understand, according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite everything in him, things in heaven, things on the earth. So that's the plan of what's to come. But for us, in him, we have obtained an inheritance. We have our place, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So we're actually the partakers of the promises now, is what Paul's saying. We're so tightly entwined in God's purpose in his Son, having been washed and redeemed and forgiven, like Ruth was entwined with the coming of our Lord. And this fact should change us, says Paul. So what we want to do is go on from here this morning and think about our Lord's example and how we can use his influence to do something for others, that we should be defined by our care and love toward others. That's what people should first notice about us. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, and I'll add, and followed, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints. So it's that love and faith in action that proves we belong and shows that we've found a place, says Paul. But it also draws others to God and provides care and concern and a place for them as well. So as we await the coming of our Lord, let us try to do that consistently in following him, so that anyone looking on would echo the words of the women to Naomi, to us. Ruth 4, blessed be Yahweh, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel.